Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
December means the holidays and intense regular season football. It also means a very long, drawn-out Major League Baseball offseason. But things should be happening this week. Yesterday was the one-year anniversary of the Juan Soto signing, which kicked things off. People expect, at least these insiders expect, believe, maybe, could be trending, that Kyle Schwarber is going to be the first one to fall. I thought maybe Kyle Tucker would be the first one to fall. Looks like Schwarber would be the first one to fall.
Going to the Reds?
I don't know. I mean, I know that obviously, you know, the Phillies are involved. The Mets are involved. I know the Reds are involved.
Can you imagine how many home runs he'd hit at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, do they have the money to pay him with all these other teams that are involved?
He's a local kid, too, by the way. He grew up 30 minutes outside of Cincinnati.
But you always tell me no hometown discount.
No, but I could see the team spending money on a hometown guy to get the fans excited to sell more season tickets.
Yeah, so that's
especially a home run hitting guy.
Sure. So, so apparently, I guess Kyle Tucker was down. This was a report from Brian Koch, I believe, from MLB.com, who covers the Yankees, saying that Kyle Tucker was down in Florida, did not visit the Yankees facility in Tampa, but went to nearby Dunedin to check out the Blue Jays facility. And apparently the Blue Jays are hot on him, and Yankee fans are flipping out because they don't think anything else is going to happen in this offseason. Like, they're going to try to go re-sign Cody Bellinger. Maybe they don't. But it just feels, as we sit here right now, that they're not going to be spending big money, and maybe it has to happen in the trade market. And even if it happens in the trade market, they can't bring in a large salary, because Brian Cashman said himself that Hal gave him a drop-dead number. That's it. Drop-dead number. Can't go over it. And obviously their payroll is where it is right now. So that's their story. And then the Mets are very clandestine in some of the things. The rumors that I heard is, of course, can't give a starting pitcher a 5-year deal or more. Can't do that. That's like the David Stern's commandments, you know?
Yeah.
Like when Martin Luther nailed that thing to the door. Like, this is what David Stern's has done. And he doesn't want to do it. So then you look at the top pitchers there and you're thinking, okay, well, they're not going to get those guys. However, like, I know that Framber Valdez is out there. Like, that's a guy that, even though he is in his early 30s, I mean, giving him a 5-year deal to slap him at the top of the rotation, you know, being the gutsy dude that he is and all the playoff wins and everything else, like, I would love that. They've got to bring in somebody else via free agency or trade. And now, I guess, the name that they had a Zoom call with, and there's mutual interest.
A Zoom call?
Is Michael King, who we've heard his name before, but Of course, the reason why he would not be a five-year deal is because of the injuries that he's dealt with throughout his career.
Yeah, so they're looking for a cheap way to fill a spot. That's what it feels like to me. And then you still have to answer the question of what is going on with Kodai Senga for the Mets. Now, for the Yankees, I would just, can we just all just wait and see what happens with these guys before we start, you know, panicking that something is going awry for them? I mean, there's always, they always come out of this with something.
Yes, but
so in other words, for a Yankee fan, just bringing back Cody Bellinger isn't enough.
No, they don't, because I'll tell you why. I mean, I think that the bullpen is something to look at, and also shortstop. You know, they don't want Anthony Volpe to be the starting shortstop next year, and I really can't blame them for saying that. I mean, you want to upgrade that position at the very least.
Especially if you have a third baseman and a shortstop both hitting around 215.
Yeah.
That's not sustainable. That's not winning baseball. That's not how you're going to beat the Dodgers. That's not how you're going to beat the Red Sox. That's not how you're going to beat, you know, anybody in the American League, Toronto. I mean, what about Bregman? What's going on with him?
What's the latest on Bregman?
Yeah,
I have not
you got
heard
any
him.
Updates on him, like any like
I don't.
Possibilities.
I'll answer another question
All
for
right.
you.
All right. Go ahead.
I'll answer another question for you that you just asked, is what's going on with Kodai Senga?
Yeah.
David Stearns
okay.
said like amazing things about Kodai Senga yesterday. How he's never felt better. His offseason is amazing. Can't wait for him to get back here and start pitching. His confidence level is the greatest it's ever been. So you know what that tells me?
What does that tell you? That they're keeping him?
No. He that don't.
He's trying to sell him.
Mm-hmm. That's what that is.
And he's trying to create the narrative.
That's what that is.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you right now, that's what that is.
So Dylan Cease got 7 years, $210 million from the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Mm. Oof. It's a lot of money.
Well, yeah, that's something that David Stearns is not going to do.
I understand that.
He's not going to do that. And he's not going to...
Do you think we see a trade with Fernando Tatis Jr.?
Well, that's the one that I think Yankee fans would love to see. So they know that the Padres are paring off salary where they can. He fits a need for them. He definitely would bring an energy to the Yankees that we always talk about. I mean, Aaron Judge is the greatest player, you know, in baseball. Him and Shohei Ohtani is the greatest hitter in baseball, Aaron Judge. But, you know, there's an edge that comes with other players on the roster that you'd like to see. And he would be the guy. So, I mean, if the Yankees were going to trade for anybody that would make a major impact, I think it would be him.
All right, so he's got 9 years left on his contract. He's going to be 27 this season.
Yeah.
He's making about, you know, I mean, $20 million this coming year, 25, 25. Then it goes up to 36. And he makes 36.7 the last 5 years of his contract. I mean, but you're getting him from the age of 27 to 35 is what you're getting him.
I mean, in those numbers, if he is producing the way that you want in
that
today's
would be
baseball.
Reasonable, would be reasonable.
Yes. Yep. But then again, you can look at it as reasonable for the Yankees to take on the salary, also reasonable for the Padres to keep him because, you know, it's not that crazy. But then again, you know.
See, but these are the things that make you think and make you go,
Things that make you go,
Yeah.
Yep. That's where the Mets are at.
But you haven't seen anything lately on Fernando Tatis Jr.
I haven't. I just, that is.
Could you imagine Fernando in the Bronx and Fernando over in Jersey?
Oh, my goodness.
Two Fernandos?
Yeah. Would be amazing, wouldn't it?
It would be amazing.
I mean, think about it. It's like when we had, you know, Joe Douglas, Joe Shane, Joe Judge, all the Joes that were around here, Joe Beningo. No, I mean, it would be incredible to have those two guys because it would be, you know, really exciting for two organizations to have, you know, youthful guys like that who you hope are game changers and franchise changers.
Did you see any of the Pat McAfee, Fernando Mendoza interview yesterday?
I didn't, no. I didn't. Good.
Yeah, actually, Stephen Waldron told me that I should go back and look at it, so I did see snippets of it.
Okay, what'd you think?
And, like, I already know what I think about the kid.
Yeah.
And Stephen said that, you know, you're going to like this kid even more. I said, well, I don't know if I can like him anymore. I do. I like everything about him. Seems like he's got a great head on his shoulders. He's very bright. Obviously, we talked about his degree from Cal already. He's already graduated college. He's 6'5", 225 pounds. He fits all the measurables and everything else. Seems like it's a really smart kid. Obviously, he's you know, he's seems like he's a really good leader for Indiana, and can make all the throws.
Yeah, well, we'll see as we get closer to the draft, and we'll see how he does in the college football playoff. I mean, the Jets need a franchise changer. I mean, I don't care where it comes from as long as the guy's for real. I mean, he seems like a guy who, I don't, having not talked to him myself, it's hard to say, you know, if he could just watching an interview here or there, if he could end up being, you know, someone who could handle New York, but he's played a lot of football. He's more mature. He's right now thrust into the spotlight. You know, he's not someone who's just a young guy who played a little bit of football and has some talent. So,
like, he'll turn 23 in October.
Yeah, so you like that.
He's, you know, I think he's somewhere around Jackson Dart's age. Probably the same kind of background and resume in terms of the amount of games that they've played.
Sure.
I would think. Seems to me like it's probably pretty similar. And he's playing in big games, too, you know, and he's playing in the Big Ten. And he's got a great coach. You know, I wonder if that coach could make it in the NFL, Cignetti.
He's the guy that said, Google me or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's winner.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Got a little attitude to him.
Gotta love that. And he's staying there for now at the very least. By the way, I wanted to throw a potential Saquon-esque thing in baseball at you.
A Saquon-esque thing. You want to hold on to that? Or is that a tease or is that something you want to talk about right now?
I guess I could hold on to it. The problem is we're kind of screwing Jerry if I hold on to it right now and we go to a break.
I give it to me right now then.
All right.
Give it to me, Daddy.
Now, it's a little bit different because the Giants, you know, they end up losing Saquon but didn't really replace him with a big name. But if the Mets were to bring in Kyle Schwarber, that would shut the door on Pete Alonso. Then that leaves a hole in Philadelphia. Does Pete Alonso...
polar bear go there.
Sign with the Phillies. Wouldn't that be just awful to digest?
Well, and not if you got Kyle Schwarber.
But you don't want to see Pete in a Phillies uniform.
But if I got Kyle Schwarber.
So now you're okay with that?
I'm not. I want Pete back, but I'm, again, at a reasonable price. But it's not like Pete's leaving and going to Philadelphia and Schwarber is going to the Reds or to the Red Sox. I mean, I have a home run hitting star replacing my already home run hitting star.
So you would take that right now?
I mean, if I had to take it, I wouldn't be upset about it.
Would you rather have Pete on the Mets and Schwarber on the Phillies or Schwarber on the Mets and Pete on the Phillies?
I mean, I'd rather have Pete.
Okay.
Just because I have to look at the money, the years. You know, you have to compare all those things. You know, it's. I know what sentimentally I want.
Sentimentally. But you can't think with your heart. You got to think with your head.
That's why you got to be. What do I always say about being a GM?
Ruthless.
That's right.
Ruthless. Yeah.
And I think Darren Mooji was somewhat ruthless this year already.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. He was. I mean, just to sign a guy in the offseason and then trade him a couple months later for a couple first round picks, without a doubt, that's ruthless. Guy's been amazing. All right, so far, but he's got to make the picks now. You know, that's the most important thing.
Yes,
is hit and draft the right guys and then develop them,
and also find the right guys in free agency, like the Bears and the Patriots did. And that's why the Giants are right where the Bears and the Patriots are.
Okay,
or where they were last year, I should say. But they got the quarterback. Now they got it. They got to build around. They, you know, obviously have Malik Nabers, and they have good players there. Add another wide receiver, top-end wide receiver in this year's draft. Get the right coach in here, whether if they believe it's Kafka or whatever. But they can do what the Bears and the Patriots did in the offseason, free agency and draft-wise.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are the Yankees going to do anything?
Is this thing on?
What? Yeah. Hi. Are the Yankees making a move?
I mean, if you are tired and you can't sleep, just put on the Yankees Hot Stove Show on. Yes. you'll be zing in about 6 minutes. I'm listening last night to Tim Nehring, who I remember watching play. Pretty good ball player. Red Sox, a couple other teams. Talking about, like, player development.
Mm.
And... Hey, come on.
Even that hasn't gone well for the game.
I mean, he was talking about Dominguez and some other players, Spencer Jones. And
I saw one clip about analytics, too, how Cashman was.
I didn't hear that. I may have actually fallen asleep when he said that and then woken back up, a little nap there. And I heard Gary play one thing this morning on the way in, and it was along the lines of really just, you know, genuflecting at the altar of the almighty Los Angeles Dodgers. Like, basically everything that he was saying is the way that it used to sound about the Yankees, about how aggressive they are and what ownership's doing and how successful they are and how they've devoted every resource to what they're... I mean, I paraphrase, but that's pretty much what he was saying. So, yeah, the Hot Stove Show is boring. Now, when you since you bring it up, so to contrast the whole, you know, Met energy versus the Yankees now, it's definitely very different. But let's also be honest. The Yankees have a lot less to
correct
do,
yeah,
than the Mets. The Yankees right now have the best pitching staff in baseball.
And to be fair, the Mets really aren't doing anything but losing players. I mean,
yeah, make it seem like we're talking about additions. It's defections.
They're rumored in everything, though. Yeah. And the Yankees weren't even in on Edwin Diaz. Hoff, you have a quote here from, I guess, Brian Hoke.
So Brian Hoke has this out there. Says Brian Cashman's take on his progress at the winter meetings. Now, here's the quote. We're just staying engaged, trying to match up with some things. But it's been tough so far. Don't like the asks coming our way, and I guess the opposing teams don't like what I'm trying to pull from them on the trade stuff. We do have some conversations that possibly could lead somewhere.
Oh, okay, I mean, you guys can mock that all you want.
That's the Yankee.
Hey, that's listen, cool. It's not what you say, it's what you do. We know that, right? And Cashman knows how to run trades. He does. Now, most of the... more of the recent ones have been in season, you know, whether it's Jazz a couple of years ago, lesser extent, Ryan McMahon a year ago, Bednar obviously has fit in very well.
Sonny Gray.
He's going to go down the pay list, of course, you know. So I do think that there is a, and I've said this, a really good chance that Jazz is traded this offseason. I think I would almost be, certainly if Bellinger resigns, either Dominguez or Jones is gone. They've got a plethora of, I'm not even going to waste time on all the names because you really don't know. Not I mean you, yeah, but every, yeah. I don't even know them all. I know like one or two and I forgot it right now. But, you know, flame-throwing arms that are very highly regarded throughout baseball, I believe, because they have so many arms at the major league level that they can do that. Yankees have a ton of options, and I'm not expecting the Yankees to go bonkers like the three or four players they did a year ago. You just better bring back Bellinger, okay? I would like to see a righty bat. Like, the Yankees do need a thumper that can hit right-handed.
I want a leadoff hitter, and I want to change some of the parts on the infield. Either McMahon and Jazz, McMahon. I think they need to, I'll give you the shortstop if you want to keep that. Or change the shortstop. You can keep the third baseman, change the shortstop. I think they need to change two of the parts. Their infield is a mess.
Yeah.
Like, a mess. Ben Rice at first base as of now?
Well, listen, that's something, and I can't prove it, so that's frustrating, because I'm not going to sit here and say that he's solid defensively. I can't prove it, all right? So there's real. I don't have much depth behind this statement, because there's no evidence yet. But in my opinion, and he looked awful trying to pick some of those balls. Like he didn't, I mean, that was on Volpe,
it's
but
still
man, he
shaky
didn't
know.
He looked bad. It was definitely shaky. But my point was, it is... If you are at least a competent, at least if you're a major league catcher, whether you're good, average, or awful, on some level you've got pretty decent hands. Unless you're Mike Piazza, who can't move.
Did you see Piazza play first?
But he's also older and stiff and a different athlete. Not that Ben Rice looks like Ricky Henderson, but he's a little bit more agile than Mike Piazza.
And the key with Piazza, he was uncomfortable being there.
That's the whole thing.
He didn't have the confidence. He didn't want to be out there. Yeah. If you don't want to do it, you're not going to be comfortable doing it.
Yeah.
But I'm not knocking Rice, because I do like Rice's bat, but he's shaky. And that's putting him out there first. He's going to catch a little bit. Okay, fine. Second base, Jazz, he puts up the numbers. We all know he's not the player that we want to see with the
Yankees. I don't trust him. I don't want to move forward with him.
We want to see a different, the Clement type with Toronto. That's the type of scrappy player. Forget putting up big numbers at second base. You just want a solid, scrappy player there. And you'll give up some of the tantalizing talent of Jazz Chisholm, whether it's his speed or his power. Shortstop is a gaping hole. I mean, dude, Volpe and Caballero, come on. And then third base, you got a guy who's a sick, sick glove.
Oh, he's such a good fielder, but he's a strikeout machine.
But his bat makes you want to bomb. Yeah, I mean,
it's not perfect. I mean,
that's a tough infield.
I agree.
And
I
even in the outfield, I mean, you got Judge. Okay, great.
Hope the elbow holds up.
No, well, I mean,
Yanks got a lot of work to do. They've got work to do, for sure.
Grisham, all right.
I mean, what kind of year does he have? You know, I didn't like that.
And then the two question marks.
But I got something for you, though, Sal. And I don't know if the Yankees are thinking this. Well, they should be. And I guess on some level they have to be. But I hope that this is part of their calculation this offseason. What if I said to you, the Yankees trade Jazz.
Yes.
Gone. You sign Bichette. Follow me. You sign Bichette, who can rake and is a righty. You put him at second. You start with Caballero because Volpe's hurt, whatever. And then Volpe comes back. Hopefully he's a little bit better. And you keep McMahon, who's going to pick everything at third base. And then, now, a couple of things have to work out, one of which would be their top prospect for once truly becoming a superstar. But in a year or so, if you sign Bichette and Lombard is ready, well, now Lombard takes over short. Bichette could go to third. He's got the arm for it. And Volpe, you could punt to second with a weaker arm. Like, there's configurations.
Do you want Bichette or no? It's not a bad.
I want his bat. I know he's not a shortstop.
You're high
he's
on
not
him.
He's not a good fielder. I've said that. And in this situation, he's not playing short.
Player.
No, he's scrappy.
That's what I'm saying. You like that.
Yeah, he's a righty too.
Yeah. You're hell bent on the righties now.
They need some. Rice, Jazz, Wells, McMahon, Grisham.
What about Alonso at first base?
I don't want Pete. I don't
he's
want him.
He's a righty bat.
I know. This guy's waving his hand at me. This guy's rolling his eyes.
Have Ben Rice play first base for you. It's fine. He'll scoop out everything.
Yeah. Well, so give me contract terms here. Let me at least examine this maybe more than the quick reflexive no.
4 years, one whatever.
Now I'm good.
You're not going
I don't want
three.
Pete. Listen, if I don't want Pete for the Mets, why would I want him for the Yankees? Think about that.
Well, because you're like, talking about right hand. I know.
That's like being consistent. I
get
he's it. He's a tough guy to evaluate because he's very good at certain things. He's just not my kind of ball player. He's just not. I'm sorry.
Hector is in Washington Heights. Hector.
Heck.
Gentlemen, how we doing?
Good.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Listen, guys, I know you guys don't want to talk
glad
about it.
Glad you got in today.
I know how to get it. I'm not gonna get into it too much, but I'm gonna miss you guys. Sal, you know I rock with you wherever the hell you go. BT, I'm going to really like what you do. I've said it many times. It's just a lot of times when I agree with you more than I do with Sal. And Sal's my friend and Sal's a Met fan. But, you know, your point of view is always appreciated. So
thanks, man.
Good luck wherever you guys go.
Thank you, brother.
I'll be looking for your BT, and I know where you go, Sal. Well, I don't know yet, but wherever the hell you go, you know I'm always going to rock with you. This situation here, man, and listen, fandom is about emotion, right? So, of course, we're going to have an emotional reaction. And I keep thinking about it, and I'm going back into my own thoughts and things that I've posted about Edwin Diaz and my reactions. I've called Edwin Diaz, when he comes in the game, I've called it the Edwin Diaz experience, right? Because we never know what the hell we're going to get. And yes, you can debate whether there's been more bad than good with Edwin Diaz, but I think mostly is we've gone through the struggle with him, right? And we feel like we know what he is. And to see something like that go and to go get an unknown, yeah, you could talk about the numbers. And the numbers, yeah, Devin Williams seems to be like the better option. But I think it comes down to that. And then I have a question for you guys. I want you guys to answer this to me. Because I think those are things we've said.
I think those are, yeah, understood. Being a fan, hey, it's WFAN. I mean, fan. Yeah, that's how we react, and some people get pissed, and I get the deal. Listen, Diaz didn't want to be here. Screw him. Get lost.
Well, I see, BT, I get that Diaz didn't want to be here thing. Two questions, and you can hang up if you want to. Why did Diaz not want to be here? Did they push him to not?
No, because I don't think he thinks the Mets are going to win a World Series. That's what I think.
Did you see the reports? Hold on. Did you see the reports? Why he was upset? There was a couple of things saying. Well, he was upset that they let Hefner go,
and then he was upset
that they didn't consult him on the Devin Williams signing.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Is he wrong for that?
Yes,
he's right. Of course he is.
Who the hell is he? I mean, what are you kidding me? And thank you for the call, Hector.
Devin, what do you think about this? You know, are you okay with this? Get lost.
Why the Mets probably made, I would assume, offers to Diaz along the way. Here's where we're at. And he kept saying no. He was saying 5 years. He opted out. Okay, he opted out. Then the early reports where he wants the same deal that they gave him a couple years ago. Yeah, okay. Like the Mets are going to pay 5 years, $100 million. There was a thought. We talked about it yesterday. I thought for sure that he was going to get more than what he got, the 369. And if he did, then it was going to be on the Mets. Did they want to go to that level or not? And I was like, I don't know, man. I want him back, but I'm not. You got to have a line in the sand. I'm not going 5 years for $100 million. He didn't get that. He was probably upset that the Mets wouldn't give him the deal that he wanted. And then he decided to go elsewhere because the Mets went and got Williams without consulting him. Like, they're going to go to him and be like, hey, we're going to sign Williams. We're going to sign they got to do business for the team. They were offering Diaz. They couldn't come to an agreement. They pivoted and said, we're going to bring in Devin Williams. We're still in play for you. What do you want? Tell us what you want. And then he, like a baby, took his ball and went home.
Because he had no interest in staying here. For whatever the reasons, and we just ran through a few, obviously, and I saw the same ones yesterday as well with the pitching coach, some other stuff. Yeah. You know, I'm sorry, buddy, that we didn't call you to confer with you about Devin Williams. You know when you do that? You pick up the phone and you reach out to Derek Jeter, given the, at that point, the divide with Alex Rodriguez. Says, hey, Jeets, we got a chance to do this. You cool with this? Yep, I want to win a World Series. Go get him. He's one of the best players in baseball. Click. That's when you confer with somebody. You don't reach, and it's not asking permission, but there are certain situations.
Just showing respect.
Showing respect. You're deferring a little bit. You're empowering the player. And emotionally, that is a good thing downstream for the team and the new player that you might bring in, rather than having them kind of sort things out the first day in the clubhouse, like, oh, how you been, man? Yeah, you kind of bump into each other awkwardly. So, and that is not new. That happens in the NBA. You don't think that the Warriors, not that there was any beef, but you don't think the Warriors threw it by Steph Curry? I know for a fact that they did with Kevin Durant. When you bring in somebody that's either going to rub you the wrong way from a personality trait perspective or take shots away from you, if you're a basketball player, shooter like Steph, you do the right thing. Doing the right thing with Diaz means nothing here. He's not worth it. You don't do that for somebody like him.
And he's not even on the team. He's a free agent. Think about how stupid it would be. Jeter is not only a legend, but he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I could see if they went to Soto and were like, hey, what do you think of this? Or or Lindor, hey, what do you think of this? Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
No different. No different.
They're probably negotiating and not getting anywhere. They're going to go to Diaz and, hey, what do you think of us potentially bringing in bringing in Williams? Would that upset you?
That's a great
you?
Point, yeah.
I mean, he's not on the team. Who does he think he is, this guy?
He's pitched 11 innings in the postseason for the Mets. He's been here since 2019. I don't have it in front of me. I'm going to just guess. I don't know. Devin Williams pitched 3 1/3 last year in the playoffs, 1 year with the Yankees. He just got here. Now, it wasn't very good last year from A to Z, but the point is, Edwin Diaz did not get here 2 years ago or three. 2019, just to put it in terms we could all understand because it sucked, pre-pandemic, 11 playoff innings. Get over it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There is a guy that I wanted to bring up. For remember, we're talking about getting a scrappy player for the Yankees potentially that they need instead of Jazz.
Yeah.
How about Nico Hoerner? He's under contract. He's under contract for one more year.
All right.
Cubs shopping him. Every team is in on him.
Yep.
He's the exact type of player that we want the Yankees to get.
How many bases did he, what did he steal? 25 last year?
Six war player, two gold gloves.
Six war?
Six wow, war player, massive. Two six. Gold gloves, can actually play shortstop.
Yeah.
He's been at second base because of Swanson. Barely yep. strikes out, yep. scrappy kind of player that everybody loves.
Yeah, I mean, I listen.
What numbers are we asking? He had 297 last
stolen
year.
Stolen bases, I said 25, just a complete blind guess.
Dude, stolen bases last 4 years.
Yep.
20,
yep.
43, 31, 29.
20-43-31-29. With the grease of the doors, you know.
Yeah, I know.
That's one thing anymore. The grease of skids to get us out of here. But grease the door?
But those are big. Those are big numbers.
Yeah, that's nice. And the profile's great. Putting the ball in play. Good
career
wheels.
282 hitter.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Last 4 years, 281, 283, 273, 297.
Yeah.
Give
me the on-base stuff. I mean, I know it's pretty good.
Total 340.
Okay.
Career.
It's good.
Last 4 years, 327, 346, yeah. 335, 344.
Okay. I mean, I'd like to have a, you know, I mean, that's good. That's fine, actually. It's pretty good.
But you're exchanging the gaudy numbers.
Yep.
From Jazz
yeah.
for a scrappy, consistent, put the bat on the ball, strikeouts. Let's see. And 649 plate appearances last year. Take a guess how many strikeouts he had.
649 appearances, so not at-bats, right? Just total PAs?
I'll give you 599 at-bats.
I know it's low. 50?
49. Almost right on the button.
That's amazing.
I mean,
that's a beautiful thing.
600. Yes.
It's gorgeous.
That's a beautiful thing.
You know, there's your leadoff hitter if you want. And then, you know, you could have Bellinger. Not that you put Belly too, but.
Well, how about you get Kwan and Nico Horner?
I mean, okay, I'm listening.
Or whatever. Maybe beggars can't be choosers at this point. Nico Horner.
Go for it.
Is the exact player that the Yankees need. His name came up, I think, last year.
Why would the Cubs, we got to think about it from the other side, why would they want Jazz?
Because, I'm not saying Jazz straight up, I'm just saying trade.
Answer might be because they're going to lose Tucker, and at least Jazz is bringing 30 bombs. You look at it that way.
The question is, why would the Cubs be shopping him?
They don't want to pay him.
But he's under contract for one more year, and every team is in on him.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, now, the Yankees have, this is all subjective, so I don't get too wrapped up into this, but the Yankees have, I think, the 21st or 22nd rated farm system. So at least, you know, from a 20,000-mile view downward, it would seem like the Yankees would have a lot of competition because their prospects aren't as valued.
Yeah, fair enough.
To make a trade.
But don't you think he's the exact piece that we're talking
profile.
About?
Love the profile. Now, he doesn't win them a World Series necessarily.
No, but
makes them better, makes them tighter.
But he makes them better. He offsets. You don't need a lineup with 8 guys hitting 30 home runs.
Yeah, well, I know.
You need fewer strikeouts, more contact, scrappy guy, great defensive player. That's the type of guy you want. And like you said, if everybody's in on him, then the Yankees are going to have some competition and teams are going to be willing to bid up. I don't know if the Yankees have what it takes farm system-wise, but man, that's the type of guy you want as opposed to looking at Jazz and saying, well, he's got elite-level skill, he's got the talent. No, but there's something off there. Those numbers are great, and you compare him to Nico Horner, and you'd say, well, I'd rather have Jazz. Yeah, it's not fantasy baseball. It's reality, and you want that scrappy type player.
He's making $12 million this year coming up. I mean, obviously, you hit free agency for those numbers. He's under 30 right now. I mean, he's getting in the neighborhood of $150 million. So, I mean, is that too big for the Cubs' appetite? It might be. So you got to pounce. That's a name that I like. I've always liked that name.
BT and Sal on the Fan talking Mets, Yanks, Hot Stove, 888-808-1019. Thomas is calling from Yonkers. What's up, Thomas? Hey, Thomas, you there?
Thomas.
He's not there. Danny is calling from Bradenton, Florida. What's up, Danny?
Dano.
Hey, guys. What's going on, man?
Good.
I'm calling because, you know, I consider myself minority Mets fan. I'm very realistic. I try not to get too emotional when it comes to player attachments. When the offseason ended, I told people if Alonso and Diaz walked, I was more than okay with that because I thought the Mets needed changes. I didn't see the Nimmo trade coming. But what do you guys think of this? Even with the chaos of the Diaz signing, going to the Dodgers, it sucks. But with Williams on board, if the Mets could pull off the Peralta-McGill trade, I think that they could still add Suarez in the bullpen if they wanted to really have a three-headed monster. And for first base, I've always liked the idea of signing Okamoto to play first base because he's a Gold Glover from Japan. And he's a solid hitter. He won't provide the power that Alonso will give, but he's a solid enough hitter, great defender at first base. Everything's about run prevention. You know, and with Simeon at second base, Beatty can stay at third, mm-hmm. Lindor, solid infield defense. What do you guys think of that? And, of course, the key is to get Bellinger to play left field. I think Bellinger left, Okamoto first, pay for Peralta, McGill, and sign Suarez. That will bolster the bullpen rotation, and the lineup will be steady. Not powerful, but steady.
Not a bad lineup, Danny, and
not
thank
bad
you
at
for the
all.
Call.
Well yeah, thought out.
I would not, in that scenario, sign Suarez. If I'm trading for McGill, I don't need to sign Suarez. I'll take that money and put it into the rotation. Or a DH bat with a little more power. But if you're telling me, all right, you want to get Okamoto and he can play great defense at first base and you offset Pete that way with better defense and you bring in Bellinger to help soften the blow of losing all the power, well, you know, Bellinger may not hit what he did with the Yankees and he's certainly not going to hit the amount of home runs that Alonso hit, but he's going to hit 25 homers.
He's going to steal 20-something bases.
So you could do the math a little bit differently as opposed to one guy doing it. You do it. I like that idea of the lineup going in a different direction. I love the idea of the trade for Peralta and McGill. I would just, instead of Suarez, I would take that money and go get, like, Ranger Suarez.
Well, as he was going.
He said the closer Suarez, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I want and McGill kind of lock up 7, 8, right. 9. as he was going through it. And again, very well thought of. Nice, very well thought of, and it's just a good thought process. So congrats.
Congratulations on your great take on the
dude, I'm fried, man. I get it, but hey,
come on, man.
No. But I, as he was doing that, I was writing down what you just talked about, starting pitcher. Yeah. Like, that's not enough for me. Like, I do like the Bellinger and the defense at first and the bullpen lockdown. In theory, final three innings, you need more starting pitching than just the one move. I would need one more. And if you did that, then that's a massive overhaul. And if you do that, the Mets are a playoff team.
If the Mets trade for Peralta, now at least you got your top of the rotation guy.
Yep.
You also have the potential with McClain in there. You still need, to me, one
Michael
more.
King. The cheapest option.
Fair enough. Michael King. I would go after Ranger Suarez, but fine. Go get Michael King. All right. Now you're really piecing it together where you have Peralta, King, McClain.
Yep.
I mean, you're still in a position because you didn't give up. Although, I guess to get Peralta and McGill, you're going to have to probably give up
a Tong or a Sproat.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And maybe Jet Williams or something like that.
Yeah.
See, that's the one thing, BT. If that takes the Mets out of the mix for Skubal, then I would have a problem with that. I like that trade, Peralta, McGill. I don't want to. I'm not doing anything that would be taking me out of play for Tarik Skubal.
That's a dangerous game. I don't disagree with that in theory. But there's going to be a point where he's not traded yet, Skubal. The Mets need to do stuff, and they're going to have to make that decision, like that real determination. And if they don't do it, then they could be pretty bad next season.
I guess they could have gotten to a point where they, obviously they've talked to the Tigers, like they've had to already talk to them and get parameters of what a deal would look like. And maybe they say, this is just too rich for us, and it's never going to get to a point where we feel comfortable. Let's make the other moves and then just go get him in the offseason. All right, yep. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Austin is calling from Point Pleasant. What's up, Austin?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great show. Who do you think's going to win the World Series first, and how long is it going to take, the Mets or the Yankees?
Who the hell knows at this point? I mean, the way both teams are set up as of this moment, I would put money on the Yankees before I'd put money on the Mets. Now,
great call, Austin.
Yeah, in and out. Boom. That's all right. It's effective, too. It's something we could kick around for a minute. I mean, the Yankee roster right now is better. The Yankee pitching right now is superior. The Yankees have the best all-around player on the roster, though he's a lot older than Juan Soto. And the other thing that I would factor into the calculation is that as of like right now, there's no Dodgers in the Yankees' way to get to the World Series. So I think there's always going in now. Now Toronto's getting better, Baltimore a little bit, Red Sox spending money. Even the Rays made a couple of smaller moves. But with the Dodgers being who they are, I mean, even if the Mets go into 25 or 26 or 27 loaded, there's no guarantee you can get past the Dodgers to even get to the World Series.
First of all, it's impossible to predict. What if he would have asked that question last year but threw in a third team, the Blue Jays? Who's going to win a World Series first, the Blue Jays, Yankees, or Mets?
They would have been third on the list.
By a long shot.
Yeah, going into last year.
And they were a hair away from actually beating the Dodgers. What I would say, though, is I don't even think it's particularly close right now. It's the Yankees by a long shot. The Yankees are in the playoffs every year. Pretty sure that even with the change in formats, that to get to the World Series and win it, you have to make the postseason. And the Mets have had issues making the postseason with regularity. And the Mets have gotten worse so far this offseason. I believe they're going to get better. I believe they're going to be good. I believe they could be dangerous, but it's not even close right now. The Yankees, they won 94 games a year ago, could have easily won the division. They lost on a tiebreaker.
Lost their Cy Young winner the entire season.
Yeah, they were in the World Series the year before. It's the Yankees. It's sadly, from a Met fan perspective, it's not even close. It's the Yankees.
It's the Yankees now, but you know, from the Yankee perspective, it's not where it needs to be. So right. There's two elements of the conversation, as you and I have discussed many different times. So I just went to the New York Post website, right?
Yeah.
I love the Post. Love it. Oh, quick aside. I have not seen I live in Jersey, not far from you. You know that.
Right.
I have not seen, outside of maybe the Wall Street, there's a couple of Wall Street journals. Like, there's no newspaper sprinkle in any doorsteps anymore. Any porches, right? Those days are not in my neighborhood. Those days are over.
I used to love getting the papers.
It's the first thing I did in the morning. I couldn't wait.
Even when I was living in the city by myself, I had multiple papers delivered right to the door.
Oh, see, I wouldn't have them delivered. I would actually go walk and get them and then go to the diner, get, you know, three eggs over easy,
a
cup of coffee, glass of water, sit there, people watch, you know.
I like walking out the door. It's right there. Boom. Come back in, my undies.
I get that. Like Little Soprano with the orange juice rolling out the robe. I get that, too. Anyway, the point is, oddly, and I have not, I've lived in this home for almost 7 years. I have not seen this once, but today was the day. There was a newspaper on my front lawn, and it was the Daily News.
Wow.
Yeah. And front cover Pete, back cover. I actually brought it to either give to Evan or like one. I left it in the car, but I'll keep it there for tomorrow. So I thought Evan might want to collect that. I knew you wouldn't. Otherwise,
no, I had no idea. Maybe Hoff would.
Yeah, I brought it for somebody. So I picked it up. I'm like, wow, it's like a coupon. It's so thin. It's so thin. Yeah. It's amazing how thin the Daily News has become. Anyway, I don't read the Daily News. I go to the Post, right? And I'm on the Post website, and it is depressing. While, yeah, the Yankees might have the advantage over the Mets now, here's the two things I see. Mission impossible. Why Yankees GM, and I know it's early, I know they're going to do stuff, but right now, today, why the Yankees GM didn't accomplish anything at the winter meetings. Then there's one thorough article, and Cashman's talking about how it was really hard to do anything, blah, blah, blah. Then the next article is, Yankees make first Rule 5 selection in 14 years. Yeah.
Man, why?
I don't know, but I'm not accustomed to seeing Rule 5 articles about the Yankees getting, now, people picking them off the Yankees, sure. The Yankees picking off somebody else, I can't remember, 14 years ago, evidently.
Yeah.
Come on, guys, pick it up a little bit.
I'm actually surprised at how light the talk has been surrounding the Yankees and what they're going to do here. The biggest talk has been, well, two things, Grisham coming back and Sonny Gray. So that is just
not, Bellinger, obviously.
Yeah, but even that, the talk is not, the main takeaway from that is the Yanks want Bellinger at their price, you know, .. at their price. And now, yesterday I was getting texts and tweets about, now the Mets might be angry and be looking to go out and get Bellinger from the Yankees.
I said that on the show. I think they've got extra cash. They could tack on it all the year. Wouldn't surprise me.
I don't think that's going to happen, but that is the thought process from a lot of Yankee fans. Yeah, Marash, I saw a tweet about that. I'm not going to dance on the Mets' grave until I know that Bellinger is back with the Yankees. So just the fear that the Mets could come in if they wanted to and take Bellinger away. The Yankees right now, I don't know if it's perceptually, reality, it's not a powerful, strong feeling on what's going on with the Yanks.
No, it's not. Bullseye. You know, there's also a level of comfort, and this could be misleading, and Dove just said in my ear, it was three Rule 5 picks they actually got.
And they hadn't had one before that in 14 years?
Yeah. Now, they've lost players. They had not made a Rule 5 selection in 14 or 15 years.
I don't know Rule 5.
I mean, I really haven't had to understand it much as a Yankee fan, but I'm sure if I dig into it, which I will, I'll understand it immediately and I'll actually enjoy it. And I know it on some surface level. I just don't want to get into it now. I really don't care.
Rule 5 sounds exciting to me. Sounds like a Pirates fan thing.
Yeah, that's kind of, the Twins selected some Rule 5. Yeah, the Marlins picked off this double-A pitcher. And I believe it's got something to do with the 40-man. I could be off on that. But the confidence right now that the Yankee fans projecting, and let's get this clear, the shoulders aren't back and the chest isn't out and there's no strut. Right. So it's a small level of confidence. I think most of that is rooted in the belief, they'll find a way to get Bellinger done. And you believe that.
I do.
I believe that. But if that doesn't happen, this changes everything about the Yankees offseason.
Well, if that doesn't happen, the alternative has to be Kyle Tucker or somebody big. I mean, tell me the guy. Are they going to get Bregman to play third? I don't think that we're going to go down that road again.
I'm reading more about pitching. Maybe Peralta. Do you really need him?
I did read that the Yanks were in on
Peralta. Yeah, take him while Gerrit Cole and Rodon are getting healthy, but do you really need him? You need some sticks.
Amai would be another one. Yeah. I mean, maybe they get one of the position players from Japan.
Possibly.
To play first a little bit.
At first base. How about the Mets option? I know you saw this. Now, if this has life to it, this would, honestly, Gates might be ripped down at Citi Field. Goldschmidt. Dude. Is this a real thing? I know you talk to these people at SNY. There's no way the Mets are going to sign Goldschmidt, is there?
The first time I heard about that, you're going to love this one. It was my Uncle John.
Johnny
me.
Boy, always on the spot. Ooh, love Uncle Johnny.
Johnny Boy, you upset about Alonso? I'm like, no, not really, whatever. And he's like, I heard they're going to get Goldschmidt. Now I'm thinking he's just busting chops.
Yep.
And then I start to see reports that are saying the Mets might, another Yankee? Come on, man.
I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm just thinking that he was washed up. But another Yankee.
Yes, it's twofold. Another washed up Yankee. What are we doing here?
Those are the best additions. I like those washed up Yankees
going
to the Mets.
Thank you. Paul Goldschmidt? Good God.
Huh, what do you got? You got someone on Goldschmidt?
I also heard, too, there's somebody that the Mets are eyeing, Joey Gallo on the pitching marking. In the pitching market, yeah.
Yeah, I was watching.
No.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of suitors. I wouldn't be surprised if David Stern's like, I found my next relief pitcher.
I don't know about the Mets' interest in Gallo, but it's number one, he's always had a rocket. I was watching video of him throwing 3, 4, 5 days ago, like actual pitching video. He's trying to come back as a real pitcher. Somebody's going to put him in the minors because he throws 98 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
How about not the Mets?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the Yankees would never
do that.
But
maybe you miss out on Schoolboy, you get Gallo.
Yeah, and knowing Stearns.
He could be your Ohtani.
Yeah, knowing Stearns, he tried to convert him into a starter. I mean, forget about reliever. I mean, come on.
And he's a former Yankee. So there you go.
Another one. Imagine that. The Dodgers have Ohtani, you have Gallo. Little hitter, little pitcher.
I mean,
any corner in the market, you're right there at the Dodgers.
At that point, I might have to surrender. Call it quits.
Come over to the good side. Come root for the Yanks.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Dude, he can't play for the Mets next year, Goldschmidt. He can't. That can't happen. That's not allowed to happen.
I'd rather Vientos and McNeil.
So would I if I'm a Mets guy.
Goldschmidt?
I would too. He can't hit anymore. He's going to slap a couple singles to right. He's got zero juice in his bat. And I even think his defense slipped a little bit. He didn't play as much down the stretch. I saw that. I'm like, and it's not a troll because it was from outlets that don't troll. Now, was it a report? Was it conjecture? Was it a little bit of industry speculation? A little bit of everything? I don't know. But I know one thing. If the Mets sign Paul Goldschmidt, I mean, you guys, either tap out, you burn down Citi Field, or you become Yankee fans.
Well, there is a name that we didn't get to that I want to mention. Let's do it when we come back. Wilson Contreras. He was also rumored out there, maybe a more realistic, viable option to replace Pete Alonso at first base. BT, it's Al on the Fan.
No big deal. No biggie. Biggie or no biggie? Okay? So yesterday, very quietly, at the winter meetings, the Yankees did something they truly never do. They never do this.
Mm-hmm.
They selected somebody in the Rule 5 draft.
They select like three guys?
No, just one guy. His name is Cade Winquest. Now, they've lost guys in the Rule 5 draft. That's very common because the Yankees have a lot of talent. But the way this works is if you select someone in the major league portion of the Rule 5 draft, you have to keep that player on your roster for the entire season or be on the IL. If not, you have to offer that player back to his former team. So usually, if you look at the history of the Rule 5 draft, and there are some amazing stories that have come out of it in the past, it's usually a small market team. Like, they take a guy who is eligible to be selected, they pick him, maybe they give that guy an opportunity, maybe he works out, maybe he doesn't. In fact, just to put it in perspective, Tiki, the New York Yankees have had one guy in the last 50 years that they selected in the Rule 5 draft who actually survived the entire season with their team. They have not picked anybody in the Rule 5 draft, is my understanding, in about 20 years.
Well, they picked three yesterday.
No, one guy, Cade Winquest. You're thinking about the minor league portion of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, this is the major league portion of it.
Right.
Minor leagues are a little bit different. In the major league portion of it, like, that guy's got to be on your roster.
Hmm.
So that's to start. Like, it's weird. They don't normally do it. Now you may say, okay, Evan, why are you boring me with this information?
Right. Why are you boring us with this information?
Is it a sign that they're not spending on their bullpen? That they selected Cade Winquest?
Well, what is Cade Winquest? Like, what is his career like?
He's a minor leaguer.
I know. So what do we know about him?
What we know is he has to be on the major league roster.
I know, but has he pitched? It's like, what do we know about him? Nothing?
I mean, I could tell you what his baseball reference page says. Would you like me to read some numbers to you?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know,
all right.
Let's look at FanGraphs.
Last year, he pitched in Double-A and Single-A. And he made a bunch of starts, so he was a starting pitcher. So I assume they would be converting him to the bullpen. And he pitched to a combined ERA of 3.99.
That's not horrible.
I'm not saying it's horrible. I'm saying that when they select someone in the Rule 5 draft, which Brian Cashman never does, to you, and maybe you don't feel this way, is it a sign that they're not spending on their bullpen because they haven't done this in 20-plus years?
Yeah. How much does this cost them?
It costs him $100,000 if he stays the... It costs him nothing.
Exactly. So why would we be concerned about this?
Because it means they won't spend on their bullpen.
But they probably will spend on their bullpen.
So you don't think this is a sign of
it? It's $100,000.
No, you're missing my point. It's not the $100,000.
It's the roster spot.
Yeah.
Right. I get you.
That it's unlikelier that they will buy a big arm or a decent arm in their bullpen because they did this.
Okay, but if he works out, then great. If not, who cares?
No, I know that. I have no issue with the selecting of the player. I'm saying, do you think it's a sign that they're not going to spend money on their bullpen?
No.
That's all I'm saying.
No.
Okay. So it's a no biggie spot.
No biggie. I think it was likely somebody they liked, and instead he got drafted by somebody else.
No biggie spot. Sean, no biggie spot or a little concerning?
Insurance lottery ticket, no biggie spot.
No biggie spot. No biggie. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, like, a part of me leans towards they're probably not going to spend on other arms in their bullpen. partially because at the trade deadline last year, they acquired guys who they had more controllability of. We forget about Jake Bird, who they sent down, Camilo Duvall, obviously David Bednar.
Yeah.
So I think like two things are true at the same time. I don't think they're going to spend big on a reliever, and I think that this is an opportunity to just add another arm to the mix. But it could work out. Yeah. Who the hell knows?
Eighth round picked.
You know what, in
2022.
You know what jumped out at me about it, where I thought it was unique? Because they so rarely do it. Like, if the Yankees were doing this every other year, I don't think I ever would have brought it up. I think I bring it up because when the Yankees do something rare, you wonder, oh, is this a sign of other things? Is this a sign of they're not going to spend on the rest of their bullpen? And both of you say no. Okay, so no biggie spot.
Two fun Yankee anecdotes I've just stumbled on in this Rule 5 draft, though. I forgot they lost Nestor Cortes and the Orioles didn't keep him on the roster and returned him to the Yankees.
That's right. There's a lot of examples of that.
And in the minor league Rule 5 draft in 2023, the Yankees lost somebody that was never returned to them, who has Evan and Tiki lore.
Was Evan and Tiki lore?
Really?
Huh.
Wagaman.
Eric Wagaman. The story on Eric Wagaman is I played a game when the Mets were playing the Marlins and said, Tiki, have we heard of these guys in the lineup?
Yes.
And Eric Wagaman was the guy. We're like, who is this guy? And that prompted Sean to say, we all must bet on him to hit a home run since we're openly mocking him that we don't know who he is. And he hit a home
run. Yes. Yes.
So it worked out very well.
You did it, though, didn't you?
I did.
That was one of my best bets of the year.
Oh, Sean, quick question for you since you're very smart. I just received this email from Victor, fan of the show, and he wants me to put out a poll on social media. And I'm not sure how to, like, word it. The way Victor words it is, hey, Evan, love the show. I have a good poll idea. Who's a bigger moron, Joe Shane or David Stearns?
Oh, God.
So I don't like bigger moron. So how would you phrase that?
Okay. Who are New York fans more angry with right now?
Yeah. Mm. Who's more hated?
Hated's a tough word. I think angry with. Think angry?
How about who do you trust more moving forward?
Love it. Why'd you need our help? You got it.
Well, no, we're workshopping it together.
Yeah, that was a workshop.
Yeah.
Brainstorming. You triggered it.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
Now, the person who can answer this question better than anybody is Tommy, because he is the
unique
giant Met fan who can answer this from a real fandom perspective. So, Tommy, who do you trust more, Joe Shane or David Stearns?
David Stearns.
Interesting. David Stearns. Okay. You want to elaborate or just going to leave it at that?
If Steve Cohen trusts David Stearns, and this is his handpicked guy, then I trust David Stearns. He built a team. Look at what Milwaukee's doing right now. I know Met fans don't want to hear that, but Milwaukee was in the NLCS, and they do have a great team, and they were one of the best teams in the regular season. And I trust what he's doing right now, and I like the fact that David is going against conventional wisdom to get the job done. That shows me a guy that's fearless.
What do you think the results will say?
I think, to be fair to David Stearns, it's kind of got to be David Stearns because we don't know yet what it's going to look like.
But David Stearns is also facing heat this last few days. Joe Shane has been forgotten about.
Yeah. It'll be
Stearns.
You know how when Brunson gets King of New York votes after he does something big? This will be like the inverse of that.
All right.
Stearns will be the more distrusted person.
All right. We will give you the results shortly. Let's get back to your telephone calls. Calvin is in Washington Heights. Good afternoon, Calvin.
How you doing, Evan and Tiki?
What's up?
Good afternoon. I have two quick points.
Yep. Go ahead.
Points that I want. And my, hello?
Yeah, yeah. I think you cut in and out a little bit. So start from the top. What are your points?
Okay, my quick point is the Mets, I think we should get Tatis Jr., but the reason I would say this, I will get as excited as I am for the World Baseball Classic if they get Tatis. Sandy Bogarts has a horrible contract. The Mets can take, and San Diego has to eat a little bit of his money, and we can take both of those contracts. Tatis is younger, he's going to improve the defense, and he goes into the philosophy of what Stern likes, preventing runs, a younger player, and he's a perfect player to have with Soto going with the
Wow, franchise. Calvin, you just hit on something very smart. Mm. Like, you're making me think now. You're right.
I want to finish my second point.
You're going to get 5 points if you want, because I think your first point is freaking awesome, and it's leading me to a question to throw back at you. Because you're right. The Mets could use their wallet to say, This is how we can entice the Padres to chase Tatis. We'll take Bogarts.
They've done this before.
Sure.
Well, you have to pay prospects. You have to give up Miller. You have, because Tatis is not cheap. So you have to pay prospects because he has a lot of worth.
Yeah, but would you give up?
He has a lot of value.
But would you give up? Because here's what I'm trying to think here in San Diego. I think they want to keep their fans engaged. They want to save money.
Yeah, you give Mauricio or Acuña. I'll give up Miller.
You're missing it, bro. You're missing it, Calvin. Lindor. Like, would you move Lindor back in that deal? They get a replacement for Bogarts.
Okay, but here's the thing. In San Diego, are they going to love a 32-year-old shortstop who is going to be perceived as being run out of New York?
I think they're going to like it more than just getting prospects. Yes.
Correct. They would like it because they're still competing, and their general manager is actually one of the most aggressive general managers in baseball.
I think you just hit. I think you just hit on a very creative Lindor trade. It's
and
yeah, go ahead, keep going, because you're on fire, Calvin. Maybe your second point would be better than your first point. Go ahead.
The second point is the Mets need a number one, and the number one that I would trade for, that he's still young, he had an unbelievable season, one of the leaders in strikeouts for the last three seasons, is Peralta from the Milwaukee Brewers. He's 29 years old. Mm-hmm. He's a true number one that you can put. I know that people want to get my God, Detroit starter, the A's. I forgot his name just now. So I'm not going to pay the price. Scuba. Yeah, everybody wants Scuba right now. But I'm not going to give up my best pitching prospect if I can get Peralta for now and I can sign Scuba for next year. Because you want to be like the Dodgers. You got to have chips on deck just in case when an opportunity of a baseball player shows up, you can go and pay for it. So that's what he's doing. He's a smart general manager. He's not dumb. He's just like Tampa.
We don't think he's dumb. We're just all very angry in the moment. Mm-hmm. Freddie Peralta is a free agent at the end of the year. He only makes $8 million. Right. Here's what I'm skeptical about with Milwaukee. I think they'll trade him, Teague. I wonder if they're going to try to push him to the American League because they are trying to compete for a championship. They were in the NLCS last year.
It's not like they're bottom feeders right now. They were close last year.
Dude, they got to the NLCS. Right. So I remember when they traded Corbin Burns to Baltimore, I wonder if the Brewers would almost prefer to find a match with an American League team than a team like the Mets. Hmm. But let's get back to that first point.
Which is a good point.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.